it's a sacrifice, and when there's no sacrifice, there's no blessing. So we appreciate that, and appreciate every one of you being at your post of duty tonight, and just want to be able to deliver off of my heart, you know, what the Lord has put there, and it was, it's an interesting title, but this is the way he gave it to me. It's a question: what is it to thee, follow ye the Lord? What is it to thee, follow ye the Lord? Galatians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And we'll go right into the scriptures. And I'll try my best not to keep you too long tonight, but we don't want to get ahead of the Lord either. So, Galatians 1, 9 through 12. We'll just read this in the name of the Lord. As we said, therefore, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And let's skip down to the 15th verse, same chapter. It says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I want to thank you for your word tonight. I ask you that you help me to surrender to your anointing, Lord. Lord, the same spirit that gave me this message, may it just captivate my entire body, my spirit, everything of me, Lord. And you just use this vessel in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If any man had room to boast in that day, it would have definitely been Paul, and somebody that could have leaned to his own understanding. If I could say it that way, it would have been Paul, but Paul did not do that. Paul was somebody that was schooled, went under the best teaching that there ever could be, but Paul did not go with his abilities. Paul got alone with God, and Paul got the revelation from God, and it comes directly from the Lord. I want you to see what the prophet says about this. He says, now the Holy Spirit will never say amen to some kind of a man-made creed. Right. It'll only punctuate the word of God with amen because it's so. The Holy Spirit will not lead you any other way. Now the strange thing is that we all of our great denominations and things, we claim each one led by the Holy Spirit. And there's so much difference as there is day and night in all of us. Yeah. But when Paul, that little Pharisee that received the Holy Spirit when Ananias baptized him, and he went into Arabia and studied for 3 years, come back, never consulted the church about anything for 14 years, and when he come and met Peter, the head of the church at Jerusalem, they were eye to eye in doctrine.
Right.
Why? The same Holy Spirit. Where Peter baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Paul did the same without anybody telling him. Where Peter taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost and sanctification and so forth, Paul did the same thing without consulting the church because it was the same guide. Then, how can we today when people deny these truths? When Peter taught what he did about the way the church was to be put in order, Paul had the same doctrine because they had the same guide. The guide isn't going to take one over this way, one over that way, and send one to the east and the other west. He's going to keep you together. And if we'll just let the Holy Ghost keep us together, we'll be one. If we don't let the devil pull you off on the wrong road, we'll be one heart, one mind, one accord by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the God of God that will guide us to all truth. That's right. But you've got to follow your God. Yes, sir. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. Paul got alone with the Lord, and God gave Paul the revelation. And whenever Paul began to preach without consulting the church, he didn't go to them and say, hey, what guys, what should I preach? He went and preached my revelation, and it was exactly perfect with what everyone else was preaching according to the word. Because it was the same Holy Ghost, and it was the same guide. So the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, and he's the only one that can give a revelation. Revelation only comes from God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 through 21, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So there is a revelation of the Scriptures. Is that true? I love that, how the prophet brought out an absolute. Because there is an absolute truth. There is something that we can lean to, not by church. Because if you went by denominations, I looked up today, this says over 45,000 different denominations. 45,000 around the world. And that's globally. If you were trying to look at a church, and even in message churches, there's how many message churches, if you were to be able to look it up, how many message churches could you see that aren't out there? And how many of them could not look eye to eye in doctrine? You know, denominations can't see in eye to eye in doctrine. Around the message, you can't see around eye in the doctrine. It's because man's interpretation tries to slip inside there. But I say this, there is a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
The prophet brought that back. It's because our absolute, we don't tie it back to any church. We take it all the way back to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So if any man will use his own interpretation in building a house, it would be total chaos. Brother Tony, could you imagine somebody building a house or a church with blueprints, and they say, well, my interpretation says I think we should put the window here, or we should, my, and the other guy says, the electrician says I think we should put the outlets over here, and the plumber says I think we should put the toilet over here, and everyone's got their own interpretation of what they think we should do, it would be utter chaos. But in the church, that's what a lot of times has done, is people have risen up and said, well, I think the scripture means this. I think the prophet means this. I think this means this. And they got their own ideas of trying to redraw the blueprint. Rather than taking the blueprint exactly the way it is and use it exactly, it reminds me of Beethoven, how people would say it's utter nonsense, the scribbles that he done, because, you know, they couldn't make sense of what Beethoven's writings were. But later on down the ages, there comes somebody else that can read the writings. Somebody else can make sense of it, and that made a beautiful noise. If you say it that way. And that's the way it is a lot with the scriptures and even the message. A lot of people say, well, there's nothing to that. There's nothing to this message. Those scriptures don't apply today. But you know, those scriptures are not inspired. But God, through his grace, sent a prophet in this hour and made the Bible live again. Where it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, showing he is the same. And if he's the same, his word's the same.
Amen.
Right? Because if he was this and that or interpretations, he couldn't be the same. He couldn't be. But because he is the same, because his word is the same, he can do the same works. So it would be utter chaos if they tried to do it by their own interpretation. And God cannot be a just God if he allowed man to say, well, this is my interpretation. I say this because so many times you'll hear people say, I serve God in my own way. I love God in my own way. I talk to him on my back porch, and that's the way I serve God. And they're trying to rest on that. But brother and sister, that won't work in the day of judgment.
Right.
You know, if you go to a graveyard, you'll see the dates of a birthday and the end day. There's a dash between that. There's a headstone right next to it. You can't go by what they did. The only thing you can do is what you did and what happened in your life and what you have done with the gospel given to you. Right. And my script and my message tonight is, what is it to thee? No matter what they did, what is that to thee? That has nothing to do with you. You serve the Lord.
Right.
It don't matter if they drift off and go somewhere else. You serve the Lord. Because, brother and sister, I've been serving the Lord since I was 18 years old when I finally surrendered. And in that amount of time, that short period of time, I've seen so many soldiers that have fallen to the wayside, going to the left, falling to the right, falling to the left, falling to the right. People that you thought were pillars that would never be shaken,
right.
And they've fallen.
Right.
But you know what? What does that have to do with thee? Serve ye the Lord. It don't matter if they fall away, you serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So in creation, God established the earth to function in a provided way. And if creation, if it tried to communicate and live its own way, it would die. It would perish. You know, common sense would tell you that would not work in the natural. You would know a flower or a
tree or anything like that. It has to work in the way that God ordained the precepts for that thing to live. If God, if that's the same way it is with nature, how about church, brothers and sisters? How about believers? How about people? God has given us a provided way. And though, even though some are going to the side, I want to plead with you. You serve the Lord.
Amen.
It don't matter if everybody else falls away.
Right.
You serve the Lord.
Amen.
You stay with this message. You stay with something that God has put in this hour. Amen.
Amen.
There is a communication and there is a reception that must take place. And whenever you are doing that, it brings life. Like, what I mean by is God will tell the sap in that tree to go down into the roots. And it must listen to that. Because if it does, that tree does not listen to that voice that speaks to that sap to go down the roots, that tree will die.
Right.
It goes back. It don't matter how intellectually we can teach a tree. This is how you must. In the end of the day, if that sap does not go into the root of that tree will die. But in the same sense, there comes a time whenever the sap must leave the root and go right back up into the tree again. And brother and sister, there's a time to die, but there's also a time to live.
That's right.
And brother and sister, that's what we got to say, Lord, I want to know your timing. I want to follow your timing. I don't care what everyone else is doing. You got to stop the noise, shut the noise down for everyone else and get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to hear your voice for me.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Because God will speak to you individually. If the tree fails to communicate, it will die. God established the precepts for the church to live by. And if the church tries to live by its own intelligence, it will die. Denominations, we live in denominations because they do that so many times that we get careful that we don't carry that into the message and don't realize that. Right? And what I mean by that is, you do this and act like this, now you're a Christian. That's no more than just putting your name on a book. Of saying, well, I'm a Christian now. But brother and sister, you've got to be born again.
Right.
By the Spirit of God, where God will absolutely change your nature on the inside of you, where you are a new person. Don't that make you happy?
Amen.
How many Christians do we have here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are Christian, and I'm so thankful to be a Christian. What made you a Christian? Because Brother Tony told you, all right, I want you to start dressing like this, start acting like this, start doing this. No, it had nothing to do with that. You would do it anyway. There was something inside you that was changed on the inside of you. And that's the change I'm talking about. That's the voice I'm talking about that will carry you on through. And I believe it'll be that same. I believe it'll be that simple when it comes to rapture.
Right.
I mean, that voice, amen. It's the same God in his church. And God has always worked with the cry of man. And if you think about a little baby, I've got a little grandson. He's got a way of getting what he had need of and he cries for it. There's not a better way. You can say, little baby, I want to give you this bell, and you ring the bell when you need something, and we'll give it to you. It won't work. But that baby's got something on the inside of him that will begin to cry out. And when he begins to cry out, there's something inside the mama. She don't even know what she's doing, perhaps. But there'll be milk that will come from her breast automatically. It just comes. It's God's provided way. The baby will work with a cry. The baby will have something inside of him begin to cry out. The mama will have something inside of her that has an ability to fix that cry. To feed the cry. The baby's got a cry. It's got a hunger for it. Don't even know how to fix the problem. The only thing it knows to do is cry. The mama, the baby, I don't know how to take care of this baby. I don't know what to do. But the baby's cry causes the milk to come automatically. And she's able to feed the baby and life takes place. And brother and sister, that's exactly the way it is with church. Whenever a child of God will have a hunger and a thirst for God and you don't even know why. I don't know why I feel this way. You just cry out to God in your spirit and say, God, I need you. God, I need you. And a preacher or a pastor will say, I don't know how to get this church into a rapture. I don't know how to fix all these problems I see in the church. I don't know how. But you know what? That child of God that's crying out to God and saying, God, I got a need. God, I need you. God, help me. God, help me. And that preacher will have something on the inside of him begin to burn and to pull. What is it? It's a deep call to the deep, brother and sister. It's a son and daughter of God that's pulling on God, and God works through man. God will work through a fivefold ministry that will have something bubbling in his heart that will feed your cry. What good would it be to depend on yesterday?
Right.
God wants you to have it today.
Amen.
Do you believe God still works through Faithful Ministry?
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe God still works through babies crying?
Amen.
Amen. Ask Rachel and Elijah. That baby will begin to cry, and when he cries out, brother and sister, he gets what he has need of. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 31. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for them that love God and them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, then be also glorified. What shall we say then of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
You know why that baby has a hunger? Because there was a call on the inside of him to eat.
Right.
And you know, as a son and daughter of God, why is it you feel that pull when you've got a you feel like you need to pray?
Right.
Why is it you feel that pull that you I need hunger for something? I'm hungry. What is it? Because you were called. It's
right.
Because you're predestinated. God has predestinated you to eat.
Amen.
Baby Noah was predestinated to eat.
Amen.
And believe me, that boy likes to eat. He's definitely a part of the black tribe. Because we like to eat. Amen. God will put that hunger inside you. And, and Scripture says that you don't even know what to pray. You don't even know what to say. Nobody don't even know what to say. He doesn't know what to, but you know what he knows to do? Cry.
Right.
He knows to cry out to God. I don't care what they're doing over here. I don't care what they're doing over there. I've got to need God. I need you to feed me. And that's the way the children of God have got to be, brother and sister. This hour is, God, I need your meat.
Right.
I need spiritual meat, Lord, that you can help me become what you called me to be in this hour.
Amen.
God, I need you to help me, and I don't know how to fix my problem. Help me, Lord. And God has He has a ordained way that he'll feed you.
Amen.
Amen. So God communicates through man by the cry of man and through the Spirit. Listen to what Brim says. He says, do you know God never takes his spirit? He takes his man, but never his spirit. His spirit comes from, the spirit was on Elijah, come upon Elisha, come upon John the Baptist, and so forth. And the fulfilling of all it was in Christ, and he had the spirit without measure. And do you know the devil takes his man, but never his spirit? His teacher, his theologian, just comes right on down, all the way from Cain, all the way down through the Bible, just right on down, rotating. But brethren, in regards to that, as many times as I have questioned it, to go into places and hold meetings where I think that men, usually of a Bible education, of a scholar, and certainly would stand on the Word of God and see fantastics come in and all kinds of things, just as the Bible said, the people with scars in their foreheads, blood in their faces, and all kinds of oils running from their hands and all kinds of fantastics, and they come in like that, and you know people would flock to them. And I thought, oh God, and the unadulterated gospel being preached, and just a few will listen. But he said unto me, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. See, that's right. These things has to be, see. So then we're living in that day. Brethren, keep our eyes on Calvary. Keep our hearts single with the Word. Preach the Word. Be in season, out of season. Hold to that unchanging Word and stay.
Amen.
The majority of the world will flock to impersonations. And how many knows that's been impersonations that was taking place?
Right.
They would cause fake blood, you know, blood coming from their hands, all kinds of things. And meetings to get people's attention. So many kind of things. Let's say God put a gold tooth in my mouth. Just me, but I believe if God ever put a tooth in your mouth, it'd be the original. You know, it'd be an original
right.
tooth.
Right.
And it wouldn't be something fake like that. And God don't just do clown stuff just to clown. God does it for a purpose, and it'll always bring you back to holiness every time.
Amen.
But he's talking about, Lord, well, you've got a simple gospel here right now. You've got a real simple gospel, but in the midst of the simple gospel, people are flocking for something That's with all kinds of impersonations taking place, of feelings and looking. And I'm all, you know, Brother Daniel, I love feelings. I love to dance. I love to shout. I love to have all kinds of things. But you know what? It's got to go back to that simple gospel, brothers and sisters, because those impersonations will fail. Those things will fall. Because you're not always going to feel bubbly all the time.
Right.
Who in here feels bubbly all the time? None of us. Do you know, there's sometimes that whenever Brother Danny goes to pray, I feel like I'm talking to that wall over there. Well, don't you feel that way?
No.
Don't feel a thing. Don't see a thing. Can't hear a thing. But I know his word is true.
Amen.
And it's a simple gospel. Whenever you just keep marching, we do this because we know it's right.
Amen.
Amen. I'm faithful to my wife because I love her. And sometimes I may not feel like she loves me. I may not feel like she's attracted. I may not feel the same vice versa may feel that way. But you know what? I continue to live and serve and do the things that I do as a husband because I believe in what I'm doing.
Right.
I believe in my marriage with my wife. And my wife with me. And you know what? That's the exact same way it is with the gospel. As we believe Jesus Christ and who he is, we believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It ain't got a thing with how I feel it or not.
Right.
Right.
It's because I believe him.
Amen.
And I love him. Amen. Amen. I believe, and I believe you feel the same way. Amen. The majority will be pulled away from the word. But what is that to thee? Follow ye the Lord. On one side, there'll be fantastics, as Brother Brennan would say, or fanatics. And on the other end, they'll have impersonations. But then on the other end, it's a powerless, lukewarm church down the middle. To where you've got one side, they're so extreme that that's all it is impersonations. Then you got the other that it's so lukewarm, it's powerless, that there's absolutely nothing. But Brother Brown has always pointed us, you stay right in the middle of the road.
Right.
And march right down the road. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord gives us commandment to not allow our children to marry or partake in unbelief. And you're going to see why I'm saying this in just a moment. The Lord gives commandment through the scriptures. Don't allow your children to marry in unbelief. Don't do that because they will be carried away into their unbelief. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 verses 1 through 10 and you'll see why I'm saying this in just a moment, Lord willing. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, and they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were in number than any people, more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all people. Ain't that something? God didn't choose us because we were holy or some kind of great something. He chose us. Let's just follow the scriptures. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondsmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Now, start the scripture again. Catch what he was saying here. Now therefore the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. That's a very important part of that scripture. A lot of people say, well, God loves us. He's with us. Now, hang on a minute. He says, now therefore the Lord thy God, he is God the faithful, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Do I say this with a humility of saying that when the Lord brought them out of this, he says he delivered them, but you've got to go smite them. You've got to go do the work. I'm delivering these people into your hand, but you've got to smite them. You've got to go do you've got to go do the work, so to speak. But he's saying, whenever you've been delivered, don't allow your children to marry with them. Don't allow their images to affect you.
Right.
Don't allow the images that they have to distract you. Because, you know, Brother Branham talked about seeing the bride marching forward, and they were in beat. But somewhere along the line, they begin to get out of step. It's because their eyes began to change from what they should be focusing on and looking at the things around them. And because they began to look at the things around them, they began to get out of step. And the prophet called back to them, get back in line. Get back in line. What happened? They were going the right way. But somewhere along the journey, they began to look to the left or look to the right. They began to look at the other people. It don't matter what the other people are doing. Because you know what? The only thing that's going to matter is between you and God.
Right.
Because there's people around you that are not walking right.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with you.
Amen.
We've got to make sure that we're walking right.
Amen.
Because they're going to have to make, they're going to meet God on their own ground.
Amen.
And we're going to meet God on our own ground.
Amen.
And I'm saying this because there's so many times I believe there's children that have been born in this message that have think that you're okay because you go to a Methodist church.
Yeah.
There are families that think that they're okay because they're going in a family church. But you got to look at where you're marching. Because if your eyes are not following this message, brother and sister, you are drifting.
Right.
I want to say this again. If you are not beholding this message, if you are not beholding the word, I'm talking steadfast, walking this line of following the word, you will drift.
Right.
You will become distracted. The fake God, the evil God, the thing that looked so filthy before that said, I would never take that, I would never partake of that, I would never do that, I would never do that. It'll weaken. Well, you know, they're not that bad. They're pretty good people. There was a time when homosexuality was something that was so filthy and so shocking to the body, to when you saw, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's really happening. There was a time. How many knows what I'm talking about? You just didn't hear about it. But now it's happened so much to where it's almost acceptable now.
Yeah.
Not mean to the person. I love the person. Christ loves the person. It's the sin I'm talking about. And that's one of many factors you can bring forth of false gods and false images and false things that's taking place where at one point of time said, you burn that stuff, be away from that stuff, don't partake of that stuff, until the point not only they partake in it, but they're letting their children marry into it.
Yeah.
And he's saying when you do that, they will bring your children away. Listen to me, we've got to keep ourselves consecrated to holiness of this message God gives. And remember the God that delivered us.
Amen.
The scripture says he delivered them, but they had to go smite them.
Right.
Did you ever notice that?
Right.
God delivered them, they had to go smite them. Think about that in divine healing. God delivered you the divine healing. If you're blind and you need to see, God delivered you from the blindness, but you've got to be the one to reach out and claim it and say, Lord, by faith I claim your healing, and you receive the healing. He gave you the deliverance. You got to claim it.
Amen.
You had your deliverance of a devil that's trying to torment you. I'm going to show you something. I don't know why I'm going down this route, but I really feel the Lord leading me. There's a lot of time, Brother Brown talked about the man that he'd go to a meeting. He's going to preach a meeting, and this guy come in there, and he's going to break every bone in his body. This man come out there, and the police were going to get a hold of him. Brother Brown told him to get back. This man stood up. Everybody knows the story. The man rose up and said, I'm going to break every bone in your body. He said, you challenged me today, and because you challenged me in the name of the Lord, you're going to fall over my feet. And the man did that, fell over his feet. And they said that that spirit will come back to that man because he worships it.
Yeah.
There's so many times a person will get a spirit on top of them and they finally get free of that spirit. They'll finally get free of it, but that spirit will come right back because they worship it. Listen to me, there's many times you say, Lord, give me the freedom. Give me the victory over this thing that I'm battling. And the Lord will deliver you. But after he delivers you, it's up to you to keep the door shut.
Right.
Because he will come back.
Yeah.
That devil, you can say, Lord, deliver me. That's why you have these youth meetings. Though I am all for youth meetings, okay? I am not trying to bash a youth meeting. That's why I have youth meetings, wonderful thing. A lot of great things take place in youth meetings. One of the greatest preachers we have in this hour, I can't remember his name now. Andrew Logan, wonderful brother. Give his heart to the Lord at a youth meeting. Man, I'm preached like I ain't never seen before. Just unhuman. Good things come from meetings. But what will happen is those people will get a spirit cast off them and they'll do great. And you know what happens? They'll go right back home and begin to worship them same old devils. Welcoming those same old devils come back on and they go right back into the same old life. Brother and sister, when the devil's off of, guess what? We got to keep our eyes focused on what the Lord is doing. Keep your eyes focused on what the Lord's doing and don't be turning to the images. Because you know what? When I was talking about the homosexuality and things like that, let me bring it down a little bit more. In the denominational churches, it's not the people in the denominations. It is the system. And you can allow yourself to look at that system. At one time, you see so clearly why the denominational system is so evil. But over time, you say, you know what? That denomination system ain't so bad. Those are good people. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you got your images. I see it in myself, brother and sister. I've seen that thing. That devil will try to come through there because he is a slick devil.
Right.
But you know, we have got to keep ourselves holy.
Amen.
Keep our eyes focused on this word because that denomination is not the people. It's the system.
Amen.
That system will pull us away. We've got to go back the same way Paul got the divine revelation. Catch what Brother David's trying to say tonight. We got to go back to where I am walking by revelation. I do what I do because it was revealed to me.
Amen.
And that's when it's real worship. I believe that a person just lives this message because they feel like they have to. A woman just wears a dress because she has to. Wears her hair because she has to. Man does this because he has to. And you're just bondage the whole time. That's not worship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I just don't believe it is. You're doing it because it's a bondage. But it's a love. That'd be like my wife cooking beans and taters for me because she feels like she has to. Imagine me coming home and say, woman, where's my beans? Where's my taters? Where's this? Because I'm the man of this house. And she may walk just perfectly. But she's in as far as doing the works of beans and taters and cornbread and doing things like that. She may walk that absolutely perfect, but it's absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
That is not the way God intended. But it's in love.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what it does to my heart when I smell burnt. I also say burnt chicken. I hate burnt chicken. Thank God my wife don't burn chicken. She knows what it does to my heart when I smell good cooking chicken. I love beans and I love fried taters. I love things. There's certain things that she knows it makes me happy. And it goes back to a love that we have for one another. She loves me and I love her. And we do those things automatically. There's things that I do for her. There's things she does for me. And it's out of love. And she knows it makes me happy. She does those things. And brother and sister, I believe that brings an aroma. That's an aroma in the house that the kids can feed off of it. They know. They can see mommy loves daddy. Daddy loves mama. It's an aroma that takes place. You catch what I'm saying?
Right.
There's an aroma that takes place because what is it? It's love projected inside the home. And I believe that that's exactly the way this is running. The message of a person that really receives the Lord into their heart. And you know, I know the Lord, I believe the Lord would like this song when I sing this song. I believe the Lord would like this if I do this. And you're doing things because you love the Lord and you are creating an aroma around you to where people can see that person loves God.
Amen.
That person loves everybody. Just like the child can look and say, Daddy loves mommy. Mommy loves daddy in the home. It creates an aroma. It's love activated inside the home. It's where that love is contagious inside the home.
Right.
We live in a home. I'm not saying you have to do it like us. Our home is huggers. Okay? Is that right? Their whole life, when I come home, they'll all come give me a hug. I pray that never stops. Dylan is 24 years old. You know what he does when he sees me? He may be sitting with us on his couch with his feet propped up, but when he sees daddy come home, you know what he does? He gets up and he gives him a hug. You know what Cindy does? Gets up and gives us a hug. You know why? It's contagious.
Amen.
Love is contagious. When you're doing that, brother and sister, it produces a love inside that home, and it melts away all the bitterness, it melts away all this nonsense, it melts away everything. And if that will work in a home, how much more will it work in a church?
Amen.
When we have love for one another. We are serving God because we love one another. And sister, go back to look at the reason, maybe the Lord's put this on my heart, it's hot right now. Amen? It's hot right now. And us brothers don't know what that's like as far as having to wear a skirt or dress in the middle of the summertime when it's 110 degrees with 170% humidity. It's a challenge. It's a cross. And when you're going through that challenge and you're facing that cross, always go back to it and say, why is it that I'm doing this? My Lord loves this.
Amen.
And this is a sacrifice.
Amen.
And Lord, I'm doing this for you.
Amen.
Because the false images on the side of denominationals, catch what I'm saying, the false images on the side will say, well, you don't have to do all that. You don't have to wear dresses. You don't have to wear your hair long. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do this. Images. And those images come right into your mind. Mm-hmm. To where you've been saying, and what is it? It's compromise. That devil will try to do that little, just like Brother Daniel said, the homosexuality at one time was huge. You saw how big it was, and it's beat like a drum, and to where you know what, it's really not that bad. He'll do the same thing with the dress. He'll do the same thing with this. He'll do the same thing with that. All you can pay fill in the line of how the devil will use that to bring it down, bring it down, bring the standard down, bring the standard down, bring the standard down, to where eventually there's no difference between us and them. God has called us higher.
Amen.
Amen. I pray that my kids will always get up and hug me.
Amen.
To the day I'm gone.
Amen.
Hopefully I'll take a rapture and I won't have to go. You can go with me. But.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Scripture, he said that he would repay those to the face that hate him. I'm going to move on to my next part of this, but I really want to catch this. Down the ages, there's many people that have walked away and they thought they got away with it. So you know what? They were expecting lightning to strike. It never struck. Expecting lightning to strike. It never struck.
Mm-hmm.
Expecting lightning to strike. Just like beating the drum. To where eventually, you know what? Lightning never struck. It never struck. I must be okay. And they'll begin to just live and keep going and keep going and keep going. But the scripture says he will meet them at their face.
Amen.
Yeah. Listen, I say this with reverence. When someone comes to a point when God shows you the word and you walk away from that, he will answer you to your face.
Mm-hmm.
To where you will know, I walked away from what you gave me. Brother and sister, we don't ever want to come to that point.
Right.
How does a person get to a point that we're with the children of Israel, seeing victory, seeing miracles, seeing a God of heaven part water, seeing a God of heaven that would bring frogs down, a God of heaven that would do all of these great works? How could somebody that were in the midst of the moving God, moving amongst the people, come to a point where that same person now hates God? Hates what he's doing. He said, hates God, hates God. He said, I would meet them at their face.
Yeah.
It don't matter what anyone else is doing. I'm talking to you. You serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Because you know what? That my grandpa, I pray that God will forgive me. If I wasn't supposed to say this. My grandpa lived a very, 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 very rough life. Very rough. I did a lot of bad things. My mom showed me his diary. When he was like 7 or 8 years old, he was big enough to be able to, he could write. And my grandpa wrote in this book of saying, I want to be a preacher. I love Jesus. I love God. And I read this book that my grandpa wrote. I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I could take this little boy and just hug him. He said, I love God. I want to be a preacher. I want to do this. I want to do that. And he said, oh, he was so sincere. You could feel, you could taste the fajita, smell the fajita. He was writing with passion. I love the Lord. I want to do these things. But somewhere down the road, something happened. What happened? He got distracted on what he's supposed to be focusing on and began to look at the things on the left, began to look at the things on the right, and these things began to distract him. And listen to me, brother and sister, that's the same way the devil has always come. He'll always get you looking to the left and looking to the right and not focusing on what he's got in front of you. Because what God's doing in this hour, that is the escape.
Right.
That is the escape. Because it's the move of this hour. Amen.
Amen.
He says he will repay them that hate him to their faces. Many think they have gotten away with despising the Lord, but he will repay them to their faces. And that's why I say that to you, brother and sister, humble ourselves before the Lord. If you were able to go to a prison house, without a doubt, every one of them could look back and say, right here, from that day forward, I began to get with the wrong crowd.
Right.
I began to do this. I began to do this. I'm going to read this one scripture, but I'm going to give this testimony just real quick. I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord. I had a lot of friends at the time, and I was trying to serve the Lord best I could. But I had a dream. And in this dream, I was walking down our hill in Panama, right in front of our house, years before I ever bought the house. I was walking down that hill, and I had friends all around me. And I was walking down this hill with my friends all around me. It was dark. They were walking, we were laughing, they were walking, and we were walking at a normal pace, but they kept walking the same normal pace, but they were leaving me way behind. And I kept trying to walk faster and faster and faster, trying to catch up with them. And they were going down that hill right in front of our house in Panama. They were walking a normal pace, and I began to run, a full run, trying to get with them, and their voices, their laughing and everything began to just drift off, like turning the radio down on the sound. And their voices got quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter until all of a sudden they were gone, and all of a sudden I was in total darkness. And in this total darkness, I have never been so afraid in my life. I began to look, I began to scream, and it was dark. I began to scream, I'm looking around, I began to scream. I'm like, oh God, where's my friends? Where's this? Where's that? Where's this? Where's that? And I was in absolute, total darkness. And for hours it felt like I was crying and screaming and on my knees and saying, God help me, God save me, God please, God help me and forgive me. And my mind began to look back at all the times that he gave me opportunity and I turned it down. This opportunity, this opportunity, this opportunity. And I turned it down, and all it was a memory to me. Brother and sister, it was dark. It was scary. I remember crying out. I said, God, give me one more chance. One more chance, God. I will serve you. I will serve you, God. I'm so sorry. When I finally woke up, it felt like years later. All I could do was get on my knees and say, oh, God, I want to serve you. That little episode that I just told you about is going to be a reality for a lot of people. Because, you know, we preaching. Brother Tony, the ministry this hour has preached there's a rapture. There is a rapture going to take place where God is going to take the bride away. There is going to be a great tribulation that's going to take place. There is going to be years and years, and at one time it was such a great magnitude, and you could feel almost like a fear or an electric energy in the church where people believed. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a rapture. You can feel it in the air. But over the years, just beating it like a drum, beating it like a drum, beating it like a drum, to a point where now you can say there's going to be a rapture and there's not even any fear at all. There's going to come a day, brother and sister, that many, the Lord will have to look them in the face with anger because they turned it down. They despised him. So how can they despise him? What would it be to despise the Lord? to walk away from his commandments. Yeah. Brother Tony said it the other morning. We were streaming, talking about the grandchildren. And they said, "Mommy, I love you." He said, "Keep your commandments." The simplicity of the gospel. If you love me, keep my commandments. My wife knows what makes me happy. She knows I hate sour cream. She loves me. So you don't put it on my food. You see, some people say, "Well, that's silly. Sour cream's silly. Wearing dresses is silly. Wearing your hair long is silly." It's sour cream to God.
Right.
God says, "I hate it."
Right.
And you know what? I can try with all that's in me to eat sour cream, and it just comes up automatically. I can't eat it. Something inside of it, I can't eat. It's like giving Malachi cheese. Same thing. Makes you sick. And listen to me, that's the way it is with the vulgar living of a woman dressing the way she dresses, of her wearing the dress. And I know the Lord keeps pulling me back to that same token. I'm sorry. But that's exactly how God feels about it when he says, "See, a man wearing a garment that will pertain to a woman, or a woman wearing garments pertain to a man." You can say, "God, but I want to wear it. I want to do it." It's just like him taking sour cream into his mouth. It just comes right up. It makes him sick. He hates it. He hates it. It's not some kind of an idealism or a pet peeve or something like that. God hates it.
Right.
And listen to me, if God hates it, we don't want to do that. We want to be as the men that heard David say, "If I could only have just a little bit of that water."
Right.
Just a whisper. So if only I could have a little bit of that water over there. Oh God, if I could only just have just a taste of it. And David's men heard the whisper of what David wanted. And they loved David so much. They fought like 15 miles through Philistines and all of his enemies. 15 miles of fighting for a cup of water. Fought all the way back for David. Said, "David, this is for you." And David couldn't even drink the water. Well, what's what Daniel trying to say? That's the kind of respect we need to be for our guide.
Right.
That's the kind of respect we got to say, "Lord, I want you, Lord. I need you." Because this morning, while I was sitting at my desk, the Lord just laid this on my heart so heavy. As you can get calloused on your hands. I've got a spot on my hand right here that you can see. You might be able to see in the camera. There's a spot on my hand right here where I was grinding a tree stump and I did a blister right there. And it was a big old nasty blister. You can see the size of it. That's new skin right there. I can take this hand and rub this right here. There's not much sensitivity right here. But I can rub that right there, and you can barely touch it, and there's sensitivity. You can feel it. This right here is what we got to get back to. The sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Callous happens, where you slowly begin to lose that feeling of the Lord, lose that conviction of the Lord, lose that pull of the Lord, lose this of the Lord. Let's stop where you're getting away from that voice, away from that voice, away from that voice. Catch what Brother Daniel is trying to tell you. If you don't, the cry that you're feeling in your heart, if you keep letting that voice die, you will find yourself in that dark spot in this life, and you can cry out as loud as you can, and there will be nobody to reach out to you because you turned it down. God, give us that fear back. Amen. That reverence back. Amen. I'm going to read one more scripture, and we'll be done, okay? We need that sensitivity.
Amen.
And you know what will make this sensitive? They got old. That you can rub on that hand, and it'll take those calluses away, and that sensitivity will come back. In Psalms 91, verses 1 through 12, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear up in his hand, they shall bear thee up in their hands, thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And this last quote. He says, if I'm a Christian and I'm filled with the Spirit, wearing the testimony of Jesus Christ's resurrection, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, don't let any devil try to push you around, say, you don't do this, you don't do that. You do it. God has given it you. We don't have power. The policeman don't have power to stop one car. Sometimes there's 300 or 400 horsepower what could he do about that? But he's got authority. And that's the church. We have authority by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his promised word. Hallelujah. The things that I do shall you do also. More than this will you do, for I go into the Father. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And whenever you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you can't look at the left and to the right. Because you're looking at him. And he's your refuge. Amen. Brother and sister, this is my plea for you tonight. Stay under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Don't be looking to the left. Don't be looking to the right. Don't be looking at the reasonings. Don't be looking at that. Because listening, the reasonings, the friends will pull you away. Stay under the shadow of the Almighty and say, Lord, you are my refuge. And he says, I call this is the quote we read. He says, wear the testimony.
Amen.
Wear it.
Amen.
When Dylan got his graduation coat, his senior coat, he wore it with pride. He put that thing on everywhere he walked. He was proud.
Amen.
That's his garments. Listen to me, brother and sister, that's our garments.
Amen.
Wear it with pride. My God's real. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is my God. He answers prayers. He does these things. Because if you're keeping your eyes on the testimony that what Jesus Christ does, you're not looking over here. You're looking at what he is.
Amen.
And with my wife, she's got to look at her husband and saying, that's my man. That's the guy I love. That's the guy. She's got her eyes focused on me, and me vice versa. That's my bride. That's my bride. That's my bride. Amen? Stay focused on what it is and what it is that makes me happy. Amen? Let's all stand.
Amen.
I pray that this chopped up message has made sense to somebody.
Amen.
What is it to thee? Serve ye the Lord. It don't matter if everybody else quits. You serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I love your people so much, Lord. And Father, I know this morning when you spoke to me, Lord, about the sensitivity of your Spirit, Lord, of seeing how the people down the ages, Lord, and how I even see it today, Father, that they don't even realize that they're grieving the Holy Spirit. They don't even realize sometimes, Lord, and Lord, help me, Lord. I want to be sensitive to your Spirit, Lord. I want my brothers and my sisters to be sensitive to your Spirit, Lord. As many that fall to the left, as many that fall into the right, but Lord, we got our own battle because the one person we're going to be answering for is for ourselves. Oh God, I ask you that you would come this night, Lord. Would you walk through the aisle? Would you touch every heart here tonight, Lord? Lord, they that are listening tonight or they that may be listening in the days to come, Lord. Lord Jesus, may it become a reality to them, Lord, that, Lord, you have not called us to go to the great tribulation period. You have called us for a rapture. You have called us to holiness, Lord. But that old devil wants to bring a lukewarmness where a person thinks that they're okay to find out that they're not. And there's going to be many people on rapture morning. It's going to be a reality of seeing that they're going to look to you face to face to realizing, I turned it down. Oh God, I ask you, Jesus, would you bring a fervency into their hearts, into their lives, Lord? Lord, and they that are serving you faithfully, Lord, would you just give them a breath of fresh air, Lord? Lord Jesus, where they can pick their head up once again, Lord, and run this race, Father. These sisters that are standing their ground, Lord. Lord, as the devil of Hollywood just pulls from every direction, trying to get them to compromise, trying to get them to let down their standards. Oh God, would you send a cool of fresh air to them, Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus, a burning in their heart, Lord, that they'll hold their heads up high and remember the one that they're doing this for. It's for you, Lord. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name. I want to say is as he's coming, thank you to you sisters that are continually marching on. Because you know what, us brothers, we don't know what that's like. But you do. And you're pressing on. And I just want to, as Brother Tony, get ready to sing a song. If there's anybody who has need of prayer tonight, I want to pray with you. To be open to you. God bless you.
Do that, each one of our pathways have to lead to that same door. So at some point, all of us have to come to become the unity of the faith. Right? And that's not just us here, that's every church around the world that's in the right message. So all these differences and things like that is because people are looking at other things and interpreting it themselves. And so we want to go through that. But you know, the scripture tells us there's a narrow way. Many go the broad way. There is a narrow way. There's a reason why Jesus said that. And it would do us good to remember those things because that's exactly what we're up against. We're endeavoring to walk that narrow way.
Yes.
Why is the devil, I mean, he's constantly questioning, constantly trying to get us to let down the bar.
That's
you
right.
Don't really have to, it doesn't mean that. You don't have to do that. But I'll ask you a question. Are good people saved? That may sound like a trick question, but people are not saved because they're good people.
That's right.
Then why do we think that we should follow good people? You know, people, you can have good people who are following the word and they're saved. But you got good people who aren't following the word. And we hear this. We've heard it, you know, for many in many different cases throughout the years. Well, you can't tell me that person's lost. They're a good person. Okay, well, are we going to follow a good person? No, we're going to follow the word.
Right.
See? And that's the thing. But Satan's constantly, well, you just don't have to do that. You know, you sisters don't have to worry about your hair. You don't have to worry about makeup and all that. You know, you can wear what you want. That's all the devil trying to get us onto one of those broadways.
That's right.
Off of that narrow path. Amen. I appreciate what Brother Daniel was saying about if you have a need. Remember the scripture where Jesus said, I must needs go by Samaria? Because there was one woman there. She had something in her that was crying out. And from that we know that if you have something in your heart, he will come by your way. But you got to recognize it. You got to make sure you don't turn it down thinking something else. Amen. And I'll finish saying this, that we do these things because we love him.
Amen.
Right, because he likes it. That's a good illustration about the sour cream. Can we just think of it that way? You know, my wife, I'm sure that she does things and she'll do it with because it's the way I want it. She knows I like it that way.
Yeah.
What kind of wife would it be if she's like constantly looking for ways to do something different than what I want? What kind of wife would that be? What kind of church is it that's looking for different things, different than the way the Lord likes it? And whether people like it or not, God gave us a voice in this day that was that God vindicated. He's the one that vindicates his word by bringing it past. He set a voice among us, and that voice told us what his choice was in choosing a bride.
Yeah.
Right? And so we just want to stay with that. And, you know, we don't know how much longer, but I tell you, it really feels like it's going to be any time.
Amen.
So we really appreciate those things tonight, Brother Daniel.
Amen.
Amen. We'll sing I Love Him, and then we'll let you go. Anybody needs prayer, it's still available. And I love Him.
Restore her faith, Lord Jesus, in your word, Lord Jesus, that she won't look to the left and to the right, Lord. The temptations of this world, Lord, trying to get her to let down that standard, oh God. I ask of Jesus to let her put her garments on afresh, Lord. Lord, of that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. Oh God, restore the joy of her salvation, Lord Jesus. Oh God, fill the vessel, Lord. Come into this house, oh God. Oh, Lord Jesus, go through every door, Father. Lord, if there be anything that's unlike you, Lord, we want to put it under your blood right now, Lord. Lord, we know according to your word, Lord, you don't even look at her, Lord. You look at your blood, Father. And because your blood is worthy, she is worthy, oh God. Oh, Jesus, I ask you, Lord, come afresh to her, Lord. Give her revival in her soul, Father. Give her that bounce back in her step, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you today. I ask you, Father, to overwhelm her with your grace and your mercy, Lord. Lord, that she'll just be, Lord, just bubbling over with you, Lord Jesus. Reminding her of the promises, Lord. Remind her of all the times of the joy that you had with her, Lord, in her short time on this earth, Lord. Restore it, oh God. Lord Jesus, give back what the devil's taken from her, Lord Jesus. Give her that victory, Lord. Give her that victory mindset, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah.